Champa Chump. Get your Champa Chump votes in, 248-539-9797. And the Champa Chump that we had, my Champ of the Weekend was Cole Keith, 4-for-8 Friday and Saturday, a triple and a home run. Your Champ of the Weekend, get ready to duck for cover.
I'm okay with it. Javi Baez hit home runs in 3 straight games, and it's good for Javi. It's good for the Tigers. And look, get a chance to show him a little love when he deserves it. He deserved it. That hadn't been done by a number 9 hitter in the Tigers organization in like 100 years. So nice job.
Champ of the Weekend. We talked about our station golf outing. I struggled mightily with the third hole at a beautiful course, Oakhurst. So I'm making number 3 my Champ of the Weekend.
Yeah, I totally understand. I played with you. I saw what happened. It was mean and uncalled for. Mm-hmm. It was a perfect drive. Lord knows what happened to it. For me, it's the Orioles. Let's go! Make a real offer. I want to see it. I don't think it's going to happen, but I want to see it.
So, yeah, the 50-50 comments from John Morosi today, thinking that Skubal had a 50-50% chance of getting traded to Baltimore, has really led to a lot of phone calls and feedback from the people. It feels like there must have been a change on Baltimore's side to up it to 50-50 as a possibility. So we got that we're discussing. And there's a story the Wolverine is just reporting that Michigan's going to likely get a notice of allegations in the next couple of days regarding the Connor Stallions case. They could be looking at a potential postseason ban, but Michigan would be prepared to fight that. But keep our eye on that and see what the notice of allegation says if you want to go down that road. Then there's a Lions training camp. We mentioned the pads went on today. Today is the second day that fans are allowed into Detroit Lions practice. Gator, I'm a huge fan of going to football practices more than any other sport. It feels like football practice simulates actual football more so than maybe some other sports practices simulate those sports. And like you can see football plays and things that happen in practice that simulate football plays. Maybe I just love football more. I don't know. I feel like I get something out of watching a football practice where I'm not sure I always get something out of a hockey, basketball, or baseball practice from a viewing perspective. I feel like it's easier to draw conclusions watching a football practice.
Do you?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, baseball, what are you seeing? You're seeing batting practice and some fielding stuff. It's just like working on your skills.
Yep.
Hockey is kind of the same thing. It's like situational stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But football, it's plays. We're seeing ones against ones. Iron sharpens iron sometimes, and that's what you like to see. I agree with you. The football is the sport that you really can get something out of.
In the meantime,
is also prone to wild and crazy overreactions.
We're as prone as anybody, I'm trying to cut back on that that part of my job, not get carried away with stuff I see early. And we've been down that road before. You know, sound of the ball sounds different coming off the bat and things like that.
Only an amateur would fall for that, Doug.
The pop of the mitt,
right, Gator?
Right. I don't understand what you're talking about.
He's got a heavy fastball. Did you hear that mitt pop?
I don't pay attention to things like that.
But if anybody was there at training camp on Saturday with this kind of establishing that we draw conclusions from football practice, if you were at Lions training camp Saturday or are just leaving and were there today, you are our boots on the ground. What did you see? What are your conclusions? 248-539-9797.
There is a difference. I mean, when you're at practice and you hear the sound of pads clashing and helmets clashing, it's a different sound, man. And it just, you start to feel differently about it. And it sets it up like, oh boy, you start to salivate a little bit, like get closer and closer to football. You know, me personally, when I hear that sound, it takes me back in my playing days, Doug.
Yes.
In high school football. But no, it's just a different thing. It's a sense memory and it's pretty great because you don't get to hear that sound when you're at the game because there's too much crowd noise. You don't hear it. But when you're here at a practice and there's not 60,000 people in the stadium that are cheering or, you know, 100,000 people, whatever the case is, you hear it all. And it's just, oh, that is quite physical.
Can I ask you a question? When the pads went on, did you get better or get worse?
I think I was better. I was a better, well, I mean, I guess it's different because we always, when I played high school, we wore pads every day. Mm-hmm. It's different today because you only have a certain number of days. I think you wear pads now. I think they've restricted all that. So I was better on game day than I was in a practice.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, open lines. I got worse when the pads went on. I didn't play after my freshman year. But once the pads went on, I went from being bad to terrible. I mean, I just, I, well,
I guess it's hard for me to answer because the best thing I did as a football player, I thought, was my ability to rush the passer and use my strength and to get past the offensive lineman.
Yeah.
The problem was I played in the era and in a league that did not value throwing the football.
Right.
He was only throwing the ball 10 times a game.
You're a pass rusher and a non-pass rush league.
So what am I doing? Yeah.
All right, let's get back to your open line calls. All that on the table, 248-539-9797. We go to Chuck. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
At the Lions practice today.
Yep.
And offense was concentrating on J-Mo a lot. And on defense, just for you, Doug, I was watching your boy Jack Campbell.
There we go.
There's good news and there's bad news. Right.
Uh-oh.
J-Mo looked great catching balls in traffic. First part of ones on ones was a lot of running plays, and then when they were passing, it wasn't red zone. It was deep opposite red zone where they had to go all the way around the field, and then they had the one on one bull in the ring, and Jack Campbell was tackling a lot of air today. Let's just put it that way.
Some swings and misses?
Jameer Gibbs, he went against, I think they might have something going. I think they went head-to-head twice.
Yeah.
And Jack did not make much contact. But it sort of favors the offense because I think they start like 5 yards apart.
Yeah.
J-Mo looked really good, just his hands on everything. And I will say that the DBs, I was like you. I have, with this new offensive lineman from Baltimore, I think we're not going to miss a beat there. So I'm just looking at the defense, and it really seems like in the back end when there were passes over the top, there were hands on the ball, hands, contact simultaneously, not, flags and everything, but it was a nice practice. 8:30 to about 10, maybe 10:10, and a little bit of sun, and they have that cover on us now. And all your boys were there. Stoney was there. Mike O'Hare, I don't know, he should be on a golf course, but he was there too. And
can't stay away.
No, he's needs his shot of Lions every morning. But they were cheering from Martha Firestone chance to Jared Goff chance.
Wow.
So everybody was really into it.
Chuck, thanks for the intel. And it's amazing that I just think everybody that goes to practice comes away and says the same thing. J-Mo. It's this is one of those hype trains that's just building and building and building.
Shh. Let's keep it quiet. Nobody needs to know that Jameson Williams can have a breakout year. They're going to have to double team Amon-Ra St. Brown, clearly. That's it. That's how you stop the Lions. Double team him. Leave J-Mo alone.
It's kind of crazy, really, because this is where I might have the weakness may show is it's going to get to the point where I'm just going to fully believe he's going to have a breakout year based solely on preseason practice hype. But you almost get to a point where you're like, I don't know how he can't be great.
I don't know who's going to get triggered more. Between you or I think because Kang's a monster J-Mo fan.
Left his side, guys. I never left his side. You guys know this from day one. I always thought, okay, he's not playing, but look at him. He's engaged, right? And he's always cheering for his teammates. He never pouted. He never was a problem on social media. He was never pouting, pouting and all that stuff. And I almost feel a little uncomfortable how much attention he's getting, not just locally, but nationally, it seems like. People are... Hey, have you seen Jameson Williams over at Lions camp? He is just 3 yards behind the defense, getting open. He looks even faster, bigger, stronger. Campbell comes out and says, no question, he's looking better than anyone else coming back. Yeah, Doug, I feel what you're saying with he can't fail, right? This is too much.
I know. And it's not wise to draw these conclusions. But how come everybody goes to practice always says the same thing? Jimbo looks great.
Well, if he looks great, this offense, I mean, we already know they're good. Do they have another level? I mean, does Ben Johnson have something been waiting for the guy to take the top off the defense? Because Josh Reynolds wasn't that guy. You know, St. Brown's not that guy. Jamal brings that's a different ammunition. That's a different bullet in the chamber that, you know, Ben Johnson has yet to use.